This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So, the last will be first, and the first will be last." Let us pray. God, we would want to be fountains of hope for others, but we have hardened hearts. We'd like to be transformed people, but our stubborn pride prevents us from bending a knee. We long to stand with those who are in need, but our selfishness keeps our backs rigid with judgment. Forgive us. Humble us, that we might be true servants to the broken and the lost. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, it is our fourth Sunday, and traditionally we call this Children and Family Sunday, at least at our 9:30 service. But I do need to give us a little bit of an adult theme today, and I need to talk about a dirty four-letter word that starts with F. Fair. Fair. How many of us grew up, especially if you were in a family with more than one child, or if you were a parent of such, or a grandparent, or perhaps at school, that when there is something that is being doled out to more than one person, somebody says, "It's not fair." Been there? Man, I can remember growing up when there was the last piece of cake or the last cookie or the last brownie or the last candy bar, and two of us wanted it. My mother was wise, like probably your mother was wise as well. And mom would say, "Okay, One of you cuts it, and the other gets to choose first. And when that happened, I got to tell you, if it was me or if it was my sister or whoever, man, it was the most scientific, perfect cut that you could imagine, because I was going to get my fair share, huh? Right? We can be all about fairness. And God forbid somebody cuts in line when we've been waiting somewhere, huh? You ever been to the boys and that happens? There's a lot of bruised shins and ankles when that happens. Fairness. This gospel tends to talk about fairness today, but it's really not about fairness, because God's not about fairness. God is so far beyond fairness. And it goes to another five-letter word called grace. We mistakenly want to call this a lot of times the parable of the workers in the vineyard. More properly, to emphasize what's important here, is this is a parable that is about the vineyard owner, because that's the message that Jesus is trying to impart to us about the graciousness, the outpouring of grace from the vineyard owner to us. It's similar to that other parable we have depicted over here of the prodigal son. We call it the prodigal son, but really that parable is about the loving father and receiving that son back who had gone wayward. So we got to keep the most important thing, the focus here. And a lot of times we can descend back into that old idea of fairness when it even comes to our spiritual life and salvation. And if we look at the Gospels, it doesn't take very much to see that God, especially in Jesus, is not about fairness. It's about bringing as many people in as possible. I mean, the woman caught in adultery, Jesus says, go and sin no more. He's trying to bring people in, even to the point where he's on the cross and there's that thief who had lived this horrible life and repents on the cross. And Jesus says, the promise, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's about this overall idea that we need to get into our heads and hearts that the end game here for us is to try to bring in as many people as we possibly can to experience the grace that we have been blessed to receive at an earlier state in our life. And when we think of it in those terms, our approach might be a little bit different to the way we choose to live and respond. In this gospel, we're in Matthew 20 here. We skipped some important lines in Matthew's gospel between last week's story and this week. But to understand the context, let's go back to the lines that got skipped. There's this great story that I think we've all heard at some point where the rich man comes to Jesus. And he says, what must I do to inherit everlasting life? Good teacher, he calls him. And they start with this discussion about, well, the commandments and this, and the guy's sort of checking the boxes. Yep, Jesus, I do that. Since I was a child, I do that. And then Jesus takes it to the ultimate level. Well, if ye be perfect, you're a rich guy. Sell all you have, give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. And what does he do? He walks away sad. Now, we would like to end the story there, but the connector to this story is what happens next. Our friend Peter. Peter is always there for comic relief. So Peter sees this happen. And so Peter, once that pat on the back, goes to Jesus and says, well, Lord, we have already given up everything to follow you. Almost like, we deserve more than the usual daily wage. And so, with that as a backdrop, Jesus tells this parable. Now, to understand it, if we've got the end game in mind, it can help us to come up with an understanding that Jesus is trying to get to. And it's not to say that this is easy. This is hard. This is not the way we would probably like to look at life. And Barbara Brown Taylor, that great Episcopal priest and author and writer, she says, this parable is like taking cod liver oil. If you ever grew up having to do that, it was a little before my generation, but I understand this stuff. And she says, this parable is like cod liver oil. You know it's good for you. You know it's right. But boy, is it hard to swallow. This is a message that's a little hard to swallow because so much in our world is about being fair. But Jesus is more than that. A comparison for me. Do any of you ever work in Microsoft Excel and you got to do bars and charts and all that kind of stuff? And there comes the point in the menu where you got to choose what kind of a graph you want to use, okay? And you could choose a pie chart, just looks like a pie. And you're dividing up 100% into the different pieces of the pie. And that's the way we want to look at life a lot of times. Because if you get 40% piece of the pie, that's a lesser share than I'm going to get because there's only 100% of the pie. Well, God's grace doesn't work that way. God is not a pie chart. God has got endless pies, and it's more like one of those bar charts that just keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up into infinity, and that's the way we got to look at God's grace in our lives. Unlimited. And so we get to this parable where these first people in the morning are all about wages. It's all about the business. And God isn't talking about economy and business here. God is talking about eternal salvation, the process. And we need to help understand this for ourselves is in terms of the socioeconomic class that all of these guys were in. They were all in the same class. They were day workers. They didn't know from one day to the next if they were going to have work. And so, I mean, go to Home Depot in Lake Worth and you'll see these guys. They're there even to this day. And if they don't get hired, they go home that night to their wife and their kids and they say, I'm sorry, honey. Didn't get hired today. No dinner tonight. So they're gathered there. And when we understand that, that first group that got hired at the beginning of the day should be the most grateful folks of the whole lot because they didn't have to wait on pins and needles wondering if that night they were going to be able to go home and have food on the table or not. They knew they're going to get the usual daily wage. Yeah, it's hot. Yeah, I'm working, but I don't have to worry. There's food on the table tonight. Now, there's nothing in the story that indicates that these other guys weren't already there and waiting. So could you imagine in a situation like that in our lives, not knowing every day if you were going to have a paycheck to pay for dinner for your family, and they're waiting and the hours go on and the hours go on and the hours go on, and there has to come a point where a little bit of depression starts to set in. And you start thinking, well, I got to come up with a good story because I'm not going home with a paycheck tonight. So can you imagine, not only at the end of the day when they get hired, but when it comes time to dole out the paychecks and they get a full day's pay, that there's going to be food enough for everybody in the house tonight. They're excited. And what happens? The other people aren't thinking about the end game. They're thinking about themselves. And as John Claypool would put it, that evil eye of envy starts to creep in. The literal translation of that look is the evil eye. If you're Italian, you know what that means. somebody looks at you with the evil eye, malocchio, it's a curse. And Italians in some regions believe that so much that they wear little amulets that are supposed to protect you from the evil eye when somebody gives it to you. But this is what happens when envy enters in. And as John Claypool puts it, you want to live a miserable life? Then continue to compare your life to what others have that you don't. Because that's what's going to happen. John Claypool, if you don't know his story, I've told it often, but he lost his beloved only daughter to leukemia when she was, I think, 12 years old. And he came to a point in his own life when he said, I can't compare my life to other people and the daughter that they didn't lose and all of that, but it's all about God's grace. And I was gifted to have her for that amount of time. And so he concludes with those immortal words where he says, you don't feel grateful for your life? You're envious of others? Well, think about what you had an hour before you were born to what you have now. That life itself is an incredible, gracious gift of God. And everything else is a windfall. That's what this story is about. I heard this story of a missionary who had gone over to Africa for 50 years, and he wrote a book about all of his incredible things he did, and he was in medicine, and the people he healed and saved lives, and brought so many people to understand who Jesus was, and they gave their lives to Christ. And after 50 years of this, he's coming back home on a steamship. And he's imagining, oh my gosh, people have heard what I've done. They're all going to be there. They'll have a brass band and they'll be cheering and all of this good stuff for me. And so the ship comes into the harbor and he's getting so excited because he sees the band. He can almost hear the people already waving and cheering. And he gets up there and then he sees the gangway go down and there's the President of the United States getting off the ship. It wasn't for him. So what does he do? He goes to one of his superiors, his mentors, and says, I thought that when I came home that would all be there for me. And the wise mentor says to him, you're not home yet. We are not home yet. If we can keep this end game in mind, remembering the graces that God has poured into our lives, maybe we'll be more often be able to be those that celebrate all the graces God pours out to others through us. Amen.